Hi, welcome to Strawberry Fields Radio. Yes, we're still around, just not quite as regular. And welcome to part two of our very occasional series, The Beatles in Their Own Music. For those who don't remember, and why would you, the premise of this series is that there have been mountains of books and articles written about the Beatles, but the Beatles were and are all writers themselves, so why not let them tell their own story in the medium that suits them best, their songs? Now, it's hardly a comprehensive or in any way objective story, but it's their story as they choose to tell it. So, for this return episode of Strawberry Fields Radio, we present The Beatles in Their Own Music, Part 2. Paul.
Let it be, yeah.
I put the theory in episode one that the one real difference between John and Paul as writers is that John wrote primarily about himself, while Paul mainly wrote about other people and usually characters of his own creation. Even when Paul did write personally, it was often hidden in some way. The Mother Mary in Let It Be makes it sound on first listen like a modern hymn referring to the Virgin Mary. It's an interpretation that Paul is happy for people to give the song, even though he was actually referring to his own mother, whose name was Mary. In this way, while it was hard to single out the songs of John's that aren't autobiographical in some way, it's just as hard to pick the songs of Paul's that are. When John and Paul set themselves the challenge of each writing a song about their childhood, John wrote about his feelings in Strawberry Fields Forever, while Paul wrote of the characters he saw.
Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know. Another customer. We see the banker sitting waiting for a trim. And then the fireman rushes in from the pouring rain. Very strange. Penny Lane is in my ears and in my eyes. There beneath the blue suburban skies I sit.
There really aren't many songs Paul did with the Beatles that are clearly about his life or events, and those that are often disguised. You have to remember that Paul is the one who wrote a song about racial harmony that is often mistaken for a nursery rhyme. Do you know which one I mean? One song that is based on things that really happened starts out recalling the event, but then takes a detour into whimsy. It's based on a time that Linda snuck into his house and, well, what happened was...
She came in through the bathroom window, protected by a silver spoon. But now she sucks at love and wonders by the banks of her own lagoon.
Two of Us is another example of the ambiguity of many of Paul's personal songs. It's tempting to think that the friend described in the song is John, especially considering John's beautiful harmonies on it, but Paul later revealed it was actually about Linda. Naturally, every love song Paul wrote from then on was about Linda, but some were more obvious than others. Sorry, was that it? Such a throwaway ditty from someone who was already one of the greatest songwriters of the century might have made some people wonder if that was the best he could do. Fortunately, the answer was no.
And when I go away, I know my heart can stay with my love. It's understood. It's in the hands of my love, and my love does it still find something there with my love. It's understood. It's everywhere with my love. Don't ever ask me why I never say goodbye to my love. It's understood. It's everywhere with my love.
In the first episode of this series, we played John's How Do You Sleep, which was a response to several perceived insults John heard on Paul's Ram album. Paul confessed to having a little dig at John and Yoko with the line in Too Many People about preaching practices. But Dear Boy, which John also took offence at, was actually about Linda's ex-husband.
Too many.
guess you never knew, dear boy, what you had found. I guess you never knew, dear boy, that she was just the cutest thing around. I guess you never knew what you had found, dear boy. I guess you never saw, dear boy, that love was theirs. And maybe when you look too hard, dear boy, you never do become aware. I guess you never did become aware, dear boy. When I stepped in, my heart was down and out.
Let Me Roll It is widely regarded as Paul's olive branch to John after the bitterness of How Do You Sleep. Personally, I don't hear it. Of course, my ears are no better than anyone else's, but to me, the final track of Wildlife sounds far more like a reaction to John's venom.
Dear friend, what's the time? Is this real? Thank you.
You know, every time I hear that note at the end, I think it's an organ until I realise it's Paul's voice. It's not really clear whether this next song was a reaction to a specific dig from John or perhaps to general criticism, but Paul embraced the expression and threw it right back at the critics, along with one of the greatest bass lines ever.
Thank you.
Paul's reaction to John's death was quite understated. To this day, anyone who briefly shared a room with John has written a book about it and been in a dozen documentaries claiming to have known him. Yet, the person who probably spent more time with John than anyone else is left wondering whether John would agree that he knew him or not. I'd submit that this tells you he knew him better than most.
And if I said I really knew you well, what would your answer be? If you were here today, ooh, here today. Well, knowing you, you'd probably laugh and say that we were worlds apart. If you were here today, ooh, here today. But as for me, I still remember how it was before, and I am holding back the tears now. What about the time we met? Well, I suppose that you could say that we were playing hard to get. Didn't understand the thing, but we could always sing. What about the night we cried? Because there wasn't any reason left to keep it all inside. Never understood a word, but you were always there with a smile. And if I say I really loved you and was glad you came along, then you were here today. Ooh, for you were in my song.
Another example of Paul being coy with his subject matter. So Bad sounds like a fairly standard love song, but is actually about his children. And while Paul embraced the idea of silly love songs, he also appreciated the practical realities of long-term relationships. And while it's not specifically autobiographical, Paul shares his advice on making relationships last in We Got Married.
Going fast, coming soon, we made love in the afternoon. Found a flat, after that, we got married. Working hard for the dream, scoring goals for the other team. Times were bad, we were glad, we got married. Like the way you open up your hearts to each other. In the game, waiting up till the children came. Place your bets with no regrets. We got married. We got married. We got married, we'll be right back.
And he ought to know. Paul and Linda were a rare example of a lasting marriage in a business where spouses seem to come and go. Paul concluded the Flaming Pie album with a song that dated back to the early 70s, which they used to sing at home. As always, Linda provided harmonies. It would be the last release she appeared on in her lifetime.
When you're wide awake, say it for goodness sake, it's gonna be a great day. While you're standing there, get up and grab a chair, it's gonna be a great day. And it won't be long,
no, no, it won't be long,
it won't be long,
no, no, it won't be long,
won't be long.
Paul's first album after losing Linda was a back-to-basics rock and roll album. It contained three original songs but was mostly covers, and the most obscure of those covers was a song originally released by Dickie Bishop and the Sidekicks called No Other Baby. I know it's a bit of a stretch to include a cover version in a program about semi-autobiographical songs, but I don't think there's any doubt about who Paul was thinking about singing this song.
Thank you. say, be my daddy too. Yeah, that's it for the women, say, be my daddy too. What a tell them I don't want no other baby but you.
Driving Rain album can be a difficult listen in some ways. There are some songs that on some levels seem to be clearly about Linda, but in classic McCartney fashion are wide open to interpretation. Don't Want to Walk That Lonely Road Again sounds fairly straightforward, but From a Lover to a Friend with its frail vocal is almost harrowing. It's never made clear who is the lover and who is the friend, or which one he is asking to take your own advice. It's quite a mysterious line. It sounds like Paul is attempting to reconcile losing the love of his life with finding love again so soon. Or it could be pure fiction. He never really lets on.
And when the time comes round, from
love again.
This next track may seem a little uncomfortable given what happened later, but Paul's song to his new love Heather is as much a reflection of where he was in his life at the time as anything else he's written. Regardless of the fact that things turn sour later on, it's still a lovely tune, so listen to it for what it is. Paul's songs have definitely become more personal over the last decade. One of the singles from his last studio solo album was a cute play on words, but also an acknowledgement of and slight frustration with the fact that everything he does will always be compared to what he did before. Paul said of the Beatles' breakup that after you've been in the biggest band in the world, what do you do next? In some ways, he spent the last 40 years trying to find an answer.
I've got too much on my plate. Don't have no time to be a decent lover. I hope it isn't too late. Searching for the time that has gone so fast. The time that I thought would last. ever present past. I've got too much on my mind. I think of everything to be discovered. I hope there's something to find. Searching through the time that has gone so fast. The time that I thought would last. My ever-present past. The things I think I did. I think I did. But the things I think I did when I was a kid. I couldn't understand a word that they were saying, but still I hung around and took it all in. I wouldn't join in with the games that they were playing. It went by, it went by in a flash. It flew by. Too much on my plate. Don't have no time to be a decent lover. I hope it's never too late. Searching for the time that has gone so fast. The time that I thought would last. My ever-present past. The things I think I did. I think I did. I think I did when I was a kid. What's the things I think I did? I think I did. But the things I think I did when I was a kid. When I was a kid.
One of the closing tracks from Memory Almost Full has Paul contemplating mortality from the point of view of someone whose life has been marked by losing loved ones way too early. It's one of the most explicitly personal songs Paul has ever written.
At the end of the end, it's the start of a journey to a much better place. This wasn't bad, so a much better place would have to be special. No need to be sad. On the day that I die, I'd like jokes to be told and stories of old to be rolled out like carpets the children have played on. And laid on while listening to stories of old. At the end of the end, it's the start of a journey to a much better place. And a much better place would have to be special. No reason to cry. Much better place would have to sad. At the end of the end,
of course, it's not the end of the end, not even the beginning. There are more songs to be added to Paul's story in his own music, but for now, that was Paul.
That was me at the scout camp in the school play, spade and bucket by the sea. That was me. That was me playing conkers at the bus stop on a blanket in the bluebells. That was me. The same me that stands here now. And when I think that all this stuff can make a life, it's pretty hard to take it in. That was me. Well, that was me. Royal Iris on the river, Mersey beaten with the band. That was me. Yeah, that was me, sweating cobwebs under contract in the cellar on TV. That was me, the same me that stands here now. If fate decreed that all of this would make a lifetime, who am I to disagree? That was me.
That's it for Strawberry Fields Radio this time around, and for the Beatles in their own music, part two. It's great to see everyone around again. Welcome to Lisa in her new role on the board. For anyone who has discovered this program through Twitter or Facebook, Strawberry Fields remains the coolest Beatles-related forum in the cyberverse. I could confuse you with the address, but easiest thing to do is type Strawberry Fields Forum into Google and then click the top link. That will take you straight there. And Strawberry Fields is now on Facebook at facebook.com/strawberryfieldsforum, all one word, and I'm on Twitter at Billablog. And if you would like to be a part of Strawberry Fields Radio, let us know on the thread at the forum, or you can email any content to strawberryfieldsradio@gmail.com. Strawberry Fields Radio will return one of these months, but until then, this podcast has been brought to you by Rathbone Industries. No animals were harmed in the production of this program.